Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 55 for September 5th, 2007. The beat goes on.
It's time for MacBreak Weekly. We are at the beautiful Gotham Restaurant in downtown Vancouver with a kind of an odd panel because we've all eaten a lot of meat and steak, really. And none of us were in San Francisco for the event. But you know what? It's still a great panel, starting with Alex Lindsay, who is, of course, a MacBreak Weekly regular, up here to do the lab with me.
Yes, and I was actually there, but I was getting ready to come here.
You could have been at the event.
I could have, but I just felt like I could just watch it on the
Scott Bourne went, any kind of podcast broadcast via Jaiku.
I heard that was great. Was it?
Randall Schwartz was there.
Yeah, so, well, I wasn't there at the event, but I was watching Scott Bourne's Jaiku cast, essentially. And the great thing about that is that as you make Jaiku comments, other people can make comments on the comments. So every comment he made, we had a thread following from that, and it was a great place to have a discussion.
I wish I'd watched. I was trying to refresh Engadget every 5 seconds. What a pain in the butt. Somebody ought to tell him about Ajax. Sean Carruthers is here from the Lab Rats and the Lab.
Yes, and I was also sitting there on the set of the Lab, refreshing Engadget over and over, probably 10,000 times.
How many times have they done these now? First of all, they put the new stuff at the bottom, so you have to scroll all the way down. They allow comments. There were about 375 comments before the thing had even begun.
So you're scrolling to the middle, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. At least Gizmodo did it at the top, and that was an improvement. But I wish I'd known about Scott. I would have gone to Jaiku. Also here, Franklin Harris. He is with, what is the name of that thing?
DigitalUnderpants.tv.
Thank you very much. DigitalUnderground.tv, a very fine podcast.
And I, too, have my middle finger sore from hitting the trackpad refreshing.
You don't really need to be at these events anymore.
No.
I have to admit, I was tempted. It was two blocks away while I was getting ready to pack up and come here. And I just felt like, I can check in at 11. It really, that hour isn't really going to kill me.
No. And you know what? John and Paul and Ringo didn't show up. John wouldn't have shown up, I don't think. But Paul and Ringo didn't Paul and Ringo.
They might have.
You never know. I had this I had this fantasy, because I know Steve loves the Beatles, and I had this wild fantasy that he would get Paul and Ringo, and then he'd put big screens up of John and George and do a Beatles reunion. And I know that Steve has kind of enough of an ego that he would want to be the guy who did the Beatles reunion, right?
Enough money as well to put it all together.
Now, we'll skip kind of around a little bit, but there it looked like a Beatles event. The beat goes on. That was the last line in the last Beatles press release. There was a lot of kind of magical mystery imagery in the invitation, but no Beatles at the event. What happened?
It really felt, and you never know, but it really felt like a deal that didn't quite get finished.
It's been feeling like that for a year. Remember in January, Macworld Expo, when Steve Jobs is demonstrating the iPhone, I guess it was, he bought a Beatles song on iTunes, which you can't do and you still can't do. So, maybe it's just...
He can, though.
He can. He can buy anything he wants.
Anything he wants, absolutely.
So he said, he pointed out that 600 million copies of iTunes have been downloaded. Of course, at this table, we've already downloaded 10,000 between ourselves. I mean, you just keep downloading. I don't know what that number means.
Right. And there's one more tonight, obviously, because we've got to update iTunes to be able to handle the stuff that was announced today.
Right, although it seems like the only thing you're adding is iPhone ringtones.
And when you're looking at 3 billion songs and 600 million iTunes, it means each iTunes has only downloaded 5 songs.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That's actually not a good number to show up.
I wouldn't show both of those numbers together. That's
he did, though. That's funny. Yeah. They did show a kind of interesting number. In fact, they remarked on this in Gadget. 32% of all music now released in the U.S. in the past year is digital only, was never released on CD.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
You're a music collector, and you'd still...
Yeah, I'm a music collector, and I'm a package fetishist, totally. But going around Vancouver, which is not a particularly small city, I can't find half of what I want. So I end up either getting it through Amazon or downloading it digitally now.
Well, why press a CD these days, right?
There's no real pressing need. if you'll
so to so to speak.
Well, it really actually limits in many ways a CD or trying to do CD distribution really limits your audience much more than just doing a digital distribution at this point.
Right.
I think that there's some people who nostalgically want to buy a CD. I still buy some of them because I want the DRM free. I want to be able to do 256 or higher.
Sean's demonstrating a turntable on the show this week.
I'm going back to vinyl, man.
Oh,
that's
crazy.
Insane. So, clearly an iPod event like this is all about music. And so we've got new iPods. The shuffles are unchanged, although, more colors now?
Yeah.
They've got Puce Mauve. Well.
They've also got a Project Red.
Project Red. Yeah. That's kind of cool. New Nanos, they were the fatties. Isn't that a surprise?
Well, last week there was a picture leaked around the internet that everyone was claiming was a fake, and they look identical to that Photoshop document that was...
Well, and of course, Apple put out a cease and desist saying it's our property. I guess it was their property. Although we're hearing, none of us have touched them because we weren't there. But from those who did, that it's so thin that even though it looks foreshortened, it's still a very tiny iPod. And what's neat is that screen is capable of doing video, right?
Yeah,
good for people like you because Labrats has, that means pretty much every iPod made now can display out Labrats except for the Shuffle.
Oh, I'm all for that.
You too, Alex Lindsay.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think that one of the things that we're seeing is Apple really asserting a lot of dominance over, making sure that every player can play video now. We waited and waited and waited for Apple to provide video-capable iPods all the way across the board, and now we have them. And I think that this is going to be a big deal for QuickTime. I think it's also going to be a pressure time for Flash and anything else because this is the way people are getting the content out there right now.
A big deal for OS X, too, because it looks like at least most of these devices are running OS X now, not the iPod operating system.
Yeah, the speculation now is that because of the operating system being ported to the iPhone and now running on the ARM, that since you're using the ARM all the way across, it makes sense to actually now run the same OS X. They keep sharing the same engineering on all of them.
And you can do CoverFlow.
Yeah, CoverFlow. Well, I'm not really excited about CoverFlow, but yeah, sure.
Come on.
I'm not. I'll get a Twit podcast on my...
It's the same damn label mark going by. Well, it's true. If you don't buy stuff at the iTunes Music Store, you probably don't have a lot of cover art. And the iTunes is terrible at getting cover art anywhere else. So, most of my stuff doesn't. I use CoverScout to try to fill in the gaps, but that's a painful process. But still, the fact that it can do cover flow shows that it's got something going on under the hood, right?
The one thing that was missing out of this demonstration today was the iPhone Shuffle.
The iPhone Shuffle.
Because life is random, you can just call anybody you want by pushing a button.
You have no screen, no controls. You just push one button and you'll get who you get. And you'll be happy.
That was speculated for this one, but apparently.
I like that idea. They have an iPod Classic. I don't know if that's really going to find a market. Well, except for... the 160 gigabyte, which Sean Carruthers will buy.
Yeah, I love that. Although
40,000 songs in your pocket.
Yeah, I've already got that many just sitting there waiting.
Could you fill that up?
In my pocket, yes.
I thought that was a rather large bulge.
I've got the 80 gigabyte version now. It's filled, and I'm always saying to myself, yes. And, there's always this one song that's not on there, this one album that I want to put on there as well.
I think it's interesting that that Apple has not abandoned the hard drive. In fact, they really increased the capacity. They doubled it. So the smallest hard drive iPod you can get now is 80 gigabytes. That's 250. And I knew that would drop in price because I just bought one about a month or two ago. And I paid $350. It's now $250. And for the same price I paid, I could have got 160 gigabytes. That's okay.
Maybe you can get a rebate.
Steve owes me money anyway for this iPhone thing, which we'll talk about in a second. But the big announcement, and I think the one everybody's really happy to see, is this iPod Touch. Yeah,
that's the one I wanted to see 160 gigs on because, with this bigger screen on this, you want to be able to stream a lot of video, and video is very data intensive. You want more space.
It's almost like they've got two lines. They've got the iPod Classic and the Shuffle, which are the old style, and they've got now this new Nano and this iPod Touch, which is the new style. They've kind of split the product line in half.
One of the advantages, though, of going with non-disc version for the large screen, I'm finding this on flights, is I can watch 6 hours of video in a nice wide screen.
Much better battery life.
Because it's not spinning any particles around. It's
just, they're claiming 7 hours of video time.
Well, that's sort of what I'm getting, 6 to 7 hours on my iPhone, yeah.
That's pretty nice, isn't it?
They're actually starting to venture away from the portable audio player into something like a portable media player, giving companies like Arcos a run for their money with their new devices.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And, of course, the iPhone Touch has this great iPhone screen, which I don't think there's any... iPod Touch. I don't think there's any device with a screen that good. I mean, even the Arcos.
The Newton.
Newton. Grayscale, dude.
Newton version 2.
Well, and the thing is that it's so much more than an iPod now. I mean, you know, you're really, you know, this new iPod has all the other features that you
it's
have.
It's a PDA.
It really is. I mean, you have everything except for the phone, you know, on this iPhone.
Wi-Fi, you've got contacts, you've got address book. I mean, you can Safari, you can surf the net.
Yeah, so it really is a lot more than simply just an iPod. And I think that's what a lot of us wanted. We don't want to carry a PDA around and our iPod and, you know, and for me and my phone, you know. So
Well, that's why I like the iPhone. I mean, and I don't know if I'll buy an iPod Touch because I already have the iPhone. Although I like the 16 gigs. I'd love to see that extra space.
Yeah, see, with the OS 10 back end on this thing and the Wi-Fi capability, it's no wonder they had to drop the price on the iPhone itself, because now you put Skype on this thing, find a hotspot, and this thing essentially does everything that the iPhone can do. And
is there enough power on these iPod Touches, Randall, to run Skype, do you think? What kind of ARM chip is in there, do you know?
I don't think it's going to be able to run Skype. I think we're going to have problems getting to that, because we'd also have to have an open source version of Skype because the protocol's not open.
There is a PDA version of Skype for Windows Mobile, so, I mean, it should be more
than
capable.
That's x86. That's x86 on ARM.
That's Xscale, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's not going to be any. I think it's going to be a little low powered. The other thing is that we don't know if this iPod Touch has audio in. If it doesn't have audio in, then
it doesn't have speakers. So you're right. You probably aren't going to be able to do that. Yeah. Although, well, wait a minute. Now there are, Belkin allows you to do audio in by a little addition to a standard iPod.
And a lot of those other companies, yeah, you can certainly do, yeah.
Or whatever they call
so there's
it.
No reason.
Except those devices aren't currently supported by the iPhone. I know. I have both of them, and the iPhone hates those. So there might not be the right.
Apple could make it impossible.
It's possible to make it impossible.
How long?
Frank, you've got to start hacking.
That's fascinating. How long do you think before we start seeing iPhone-style apps, third-party apps on the iPod Touch?
Well, I think that a lot of the technology is already figured out because I don't think they're going to make a radical change in the sync file format, which is the big thing to start figuring out. They're not going to make a lot of change in sort of where things are laid out and things like that on the actual layout of the disk. And knowing how fast these guys worked to go from here's a black box to...
It's amazing.
Oh, by the way, you know, we can hack anything we want in here now, pretty much.
I installed the Null River iPhone app installer today, and... It's a third-party apps. It's everything you wanted. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Well, the fact is there's an entire tool chain that works with Xcode. I mean, it just looks like it's the real thing.
And that's why, right? Because they really know it. It's Darwin.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I wonder what Apple is going to release when they eventually release the software development kit for the iPhone. I mean, I wonder if they just waited for everybody else to solve it, and now they're going to release this.
And the big thing that by not releasing an SDK, the big thing that Apple... it leaves Apple open to is people can create all the apps they want. They can create all the services.
And Apple's
they want.
Not responsible.
But if Apple changes something and it breaks, hey, we didn't sanction this. And that leaves them with the freedom that they have and all the apps that people want. So Apple may just kind of look a blind eye to it.
They may encourage it in some ways. Yeah,
I know that people freaked out when the iPod was first released without the SDK, but what I looked at it is that, you know, what if they, exactly what you said, when they lock in an interface, they would be stuck with it, and they didn't want to lock in an interface yet. They knew that they were in moving target, trying to get apps out there, trying to get things going on. I know how much work it takes to produce an SDK, all the development work that it takes for that, to really publish it and make it right, and I'm glad they didn't do that.
Now they essentially have a PDA without third-party apps, which is kind of a weird position to be in with this iPod Touch. I imagine they want third-party apps on that thing. Maybe not Skype, but they want third-party apps on that thing. And again, they've got lots of space. There's lots of free icon space on there.
I'm thinking that we might wait all the way until WWDC next year before we see Apple release any kind of SDK. That would be the time. If you're going to release an SDK, the time would be WWDC next year. Otherwise,
well, also sell 10 million, and there's a nice market for you, right?
Exactly. You walk right into it. But right now, watch what people are doing. Watch what they get done, and just build the SDK from what people are already creating and what they're running up against.
All right, who buys an iPod Touch? 8 and 16 gigabytes. The prices are...
Go ahead. In the U.S., Verizon users buy the iPod Touch because the Verizon is so much better than AT&T as far as...
Right.
You know,
or if you live in Vermont.
Right. I mean, you just really... I have to admit, you know, with my iPhone, my coverage is about, feels half of what my Verizon was.
But now you're not going to go back. You like your iPhone.
Oh, yeah. And I have to admit, when we were talking about the iPhone, I said, you know, I really want is everything but the iPhone. You know, I want everything but the iPhone. I don't want to, you know, I don't really want the phone. I'm happy with my just having a, you know.
But now they've got it. And
now I got it.
You want to keep the iPhone.
I kind of like having it all in one piece. Yeah. You know, I like tech.
I don't want to I wouldn't want to carry an iPod Touch and an iPhone.
I was sitting, you know, I was in Zimbabwe last week text messaging all over the world to keep things going on my little iPhone and not, I would never want to go back, you know, so I was quite happy.
Is there anything missing from the iPod Touch that should have been there? It seemed.
Bigger hard drive.
You really wanted a hard drive version. Oh, look how slim it is, though. It's actually thinner than the iPhone.
Yeah, I love the size of that thing, and I understand definitely why, from a battery perspective, you wouldn't put the hard drive in there. But I want that touchscreen interface and the capacity.
There's no speakers on it either, which I thought was kind of cool. You can actually listen or watch a movie on the iPhone without plugging in the headphones.
It's also interesting that the iPhone still doesn't have Bluetooth support for the iPod part. And I'm wondering if they left Bluetooth entirely out of the iPod Touch, whether it's in there, but also now supports stereo Bluetooth headsets. That would be interesting to see.
I'd love to see it support. What is that called? You're the guy who told me about it.
A2DP.
A2DP.
It's not a droid.
It's not a droid. It's blue, but it's not a droid. All right. Anything else to say? I think we covered it.
We didn't really get into the iPhone. So we kind of got up to it, but there's the... You know, of course, they dropped the price by $200.
God damn, they're great. So there's a battle apparently going on right now. I got some email on the Apple forums where people are putting up infuriated, you know, that, hey, we just bought this 2 months ago, and it's $200 less now, and Apple's pulling it down as fast as they can. I understand that was going on Jaiku, too, even as Scott was taking the notes during the event.
There were certainly quite a few people that I saw in that particular thread as soon as the price drop was announced, including me.
That's a big price drop.
It's a huge price drop. And it was, you know, it's even $100 lower than the refurbs. And actually, somebody said, well, is the refurb $100 less than that?
Maybe.
Well, it's interesting. Apple's got a 10-day price guarantee policy, but the restocking fee is a lot cheaper than the price drop. So a lot of people are actually saying, we might as well just return our iPhones and then go buy.
Could I return one I bought on the 29th?
Well, I believe you have a 90-day return policy.
Oh, well, let's all return our iPhones.
Whoa, here we go.
I think the restocking fee is only like $55, and then, you know, pay your $55.
If you have your box and everything.
If you have your box and everything, obviously.
Oh, shoot.
I
just bought an 80-gig iPod, now $100 less. I just bought an iPhone, now $200. Steve owes me $300. You could just send me one of those new iPod...
the world of technology.
The thing is,
yeah, but that was quick.
With all technology, I have to admit, I approach it as, is it worth it for me right now to buy what I'm going to buy? And if it's not, I don't buy. And if it is, I don't think about what it's going to be 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, because it's going to be less.
I have to say, though, a 33% price drop in 2 months is pretty big.
I mean, the thing that excites me more than anything else, though, is that as an iPhone owner, it is to our, you know, it's to our advantage to have the iPhone become bigger and bigger and bigger, because it means there's more available, there's more people using it. And so them dropping the price and increasing the market, you know, getting to 5 million, 10 million users benefits us in the long term. I don't really care what the price
is. Read the tea leaves, though. Did the price drop come about because they weren't selling enough iPhones, or because why not?
I think it's because they were selling them so well that they could afford the recoup on the investment for the engineering already.
And it has to be dropped to fit into the new line too, right?
Right, and I think that they're going for the jugular. I mean, at $599, it was causing pain. At $399, the smartphone market—it's
going to go crazy. I mean, they do dominate. We know this in the smartphone market.
Well, and the only value add between that and the iPod Touch is the phone functionality. So they really
can't be too much more.
Yeah, I mean, they had really no choice.
So for $100 more, you get a phone. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, I think with the release of the iPod Touch today, they would lose a lot of the market for the iPhone. People that were sort of waffling whether they actually wanted the phone functionality, because now all those cool features like the touchscreen, you can get it elsewhere and have a great music device, not have to, you know, pay extra for your data plan.
I wonder who's going to... Well, I guess people who want the capacity will buy the Classic. But boy, doesn't that iPod Touch really look like the way to go?
I really want one, but I can't justify it.
Right, yeah.
I think the Classic is a swan song. I mean, I think that's it. That's going to be the last. If you're a collector, I think.
How about the Nano? Who buys the new Nano?
I think the Nano is a lot. It could be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, I have just about all
kids. It's for kids.
Yeah, I think that someone doesn't want to spend quite that much money. I mean, one of the things that's really interesting is Apple really has sewn up from $99 all the way up to $400. I mean, they have every $50. There's a product for you. You know, depending on how much money you want to spend.
$79, actually. It's even cheaper than
$79.
That's the shuffle, yeah, for 1 gig shuffle, yeah. And you can get all those colors.
I mean, I want the Nano. I travel a lot. I like to take media with me. I like to sit.
Would you watch movies on that screen?
No, but I'd actually hook it up to a TV and watch it. Unlike Alex, I'm not really worried about the super high resolution. I'm more worried about the content of what I'm actually watching. It's a great little thing. Slips in your shirt pocket. It's got video functionality now, so I can, if I'm in a hotel, I can hook it up to a TV, sit back with the remote, and just watch. Take it
and, you know, something like Ask a Ninja would look great on that.
Yeah, that's true. It, again, as I said, this is, and everybody here, well, two of us, Randall do and I do audio only, but the three of you, Alex, Frank, and Sean, do video podcasts, so it does open up a market when you've got tens of millions of people with all with video now.
And I think that, yeah, it's going to be this, we're just in the very, very early curve. For those of us who have been doing video for a long time for the web, it seems like, you know, that we're at the end of it. But this is the beginning. I mean, and when you see all of this ubiquity going across all the iPod lines, next year is going to be a big year for video.
Big year for Starbucks, too. It seems like Starbucks is a big winner in this.
No, now Starbucks is the new record store for the digital age.
For yuppies, anyway.
For people who want to go somewhere and buy music, they can get it, get online at any Starbucks, eventually any Starbucks, for free. And if you hear something that's playing in the Starbucks, you just press the button that pops up on your iPod Touch that says, this is what's playing now, buy it.
I just saw a full circle thing. Sorry we didn't mention it earlier, but because this new iPod Touch has the YouTube application and iMovie 08 pushes to YouTube, we now have a full circle publishing system for the beginner.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I mean, it's a very natural connection.
And as we look at what, you know, what NBC boneheadedly did last week, you know, with this whole, you know, we're going to take...
Well, no, they're on Amazon now. That's going to be such a great platform.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so the when you look at that, though...
Unbox for the undead.
But the
brains.
When we look at
need
what...
brains.
When we look at the media machine... Trying to figure out, how they're gonna knock Apple down. They're trying to figure out ways to get to lock. The problem is that Apple is slowly building a vertical market. They're building a point where the publishers, whether they're using Final Cut or iMovie or anything else, all the way to distribution. I mean, this is a vertical market that makes Krupp's Arms look like a walk in the park. I mean, you know, they have the whole process.
It's integration.
And if Apple got pushed too hard, they would just simply open that pipe, and it would be over. I mean, for a lot of these big...
Well, publishers. They've been slowly Python-like squeezing out everybody else. Now they've got, as you said, it's full circle. They've got every piece of the pie. And this Starbucks thing is a really good example, you know? I mean, Starbucks has done very well as a music retailer by just having four or five CDs. They know their market.
If someone's willing to pay $3.50 for a coffee, they'll probably pay 99 Mark cents for a song.
Big deal, you know?
But I'm just going to say it's every piece of the pie and a cappuccino.
Right, right. So, I mean, I do like this, and I think this is a really innovative way to think about music retailing. I mean, to say, well, it's a destination. They're already there. It shows up on their iPod. You're listening to this song. Press one button, and you own it. I think that's pretty clever. And, you know, did you see the stats? I mean, 18 times a month, the average Starbucks customer goes into Starbucks 18 times a month?
Steve Gibson makes up at least 17 of those.
Oh, that's true. How many Quinti Venti Lattes can you drink?
The question is when does this expand to, I'm at a concert and I can download the songs. I'm at there's all kinds of, you know.
Oh, you're right.
You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg of this. I can buy stuff. And this is what Google wants to go to towards, which is.
Apple's got it, though. They're here. They've got it already. It's just a button push away. I mean, those 99 cents start to add up, don't they? Yeah. And if you're a record label, now you want to be in that Starbucks. You want to be on that list. You want to be there. That's the place to be. Forget CDs.
I'm not going to forget CDs.
Forget CDs.
No, yeah, forget CDs. Buy vinyl. Vinyl.
He's going the wrong direction.
That's because Sean doesn't have a 9-month-old at home. You'll quickly forget CDs and vinyl real quick.
Digital is clearly the way to go. And I actually poo-pooed it. Somebody asked me last week, you think they'll put Wi-Fi in? I said, no, that's crazy. You kill the battery life. What's the market? You know, I mean, if you're Zune right now, you got to think, what the hell? We missed them. I mean, they've got to be going, this is, what are we thinking?
They dropped their price today by $100.
They're $199.
And it's not going to make any
difference. And you still can't buy a song using Wi-Fi.
Still $197 more than I'm willing to pay for.
But I can squirt. I can squirt. I can squirt.
If you can find someone to squirt too. Yes.
I did see a rumor that they were talking about actually having some sort of app that comes in later that actually works like squirting with these iTouch.
So it could go iPod to iPod. Interesting.
Circle click.
No, I don't think they call it that. If they do, Steve Ballmer thought that up.
Yeah.
It was not circle.
No, but you know, once again, Microsoft day late, dollar short. They even had the hardware, and they couldn't pull the trigger. It's amazing. Once again, I think Apple shows themselves to really be the masters of marketing.
And now you can get ringtones.
Yeah, I'm not so excited about that. 99 cents, and you still have to buy the song. I don't understand how that works. Do you have to buy the song? Is it $2, really?
You have to buy the song, and only some songs are going to be marked in the iTunes store to say these are qualified to be able to download a ringtone as well.
So I can't get the ringtone unless I also buy the song.
And it also has to be one of the songs that's marked as ringtonable.
So this is not going anywhere.
Or, you know, I can go download iToner from Ambrosia Software. I can I can get any song that I want. I can cut it in GarageBand, and
yeah,
I can simply load it right
you
on.
You know what I realized? This is for the kids. Who buys ringtones? It's kids. They're impulsive. Their daddy pays for it. I know, because I'm paying for it.
Do the kids buy iPhones?
Well, my kids will. They won't buy this generation, but I think you're going to see these phones in the hands of kids pretty quick.
Just wait 3 months. They'll be $99.
Yeah. You're trying to get on my case. You're trying to. I have a steak knife, and I'm not afraid to use it.
Back.
No, I mean, frankly, that's the market for. And it's a $3 billion market, the ringtone market. It doesn't make any sense. Everybody, you know, almost every phone you can make your own ringtones. Nobody does.
Well,
except you, Alex.
Well, here's the thing is that when people would give me the description of how they were putting ringtones on their phone, I was like, you're insane. I mean, they have to send it to a website that then sends them a picture message.
It's crazy.
And so the thing is that I had no interest in that.
Right.
And it was until I was, you know, gotten to test this little piece of software where.
But this became a $3 billion market.
It did
because
it was too much of a pain. But now I have an app that all I have to do is drag a song onto and hit sync. And I'm adding songs all the time. Like when I'm sitting on the plane, I go, what kind of ringtones am I going to make?
I agree with you. I think that application for some market will be good, but I think Apple will make money on ringtones.
And it won't even make a dent. That application, a lot of people will be very happy, and it won't even make a dent in the bottom line because you're right. People are going to go, you know, I just want a ringtone.
99 cents, yeah, you know, and dad will pay for it, so big deal. Yeah.
You know, my kid buys, you know, on Verizon you buy a ringtone, it's only good for $1.50. It's good for 3 months. Then you have to buy it again. So, you know, this is actually a deal.
But I think,
I'm in the wrong business.
Exactly.
But I think that the iPhone is the end of a lot of those business models. I mean, because the thing is that because we can hack it, because we can add so much to it, because there's a real OS on it, you can't control it. We've already seen all these apps come out. You can't control it the way the phone companies have controlled these phones up until now. And these business models aren't going to continue at the same level that they did before, where they could hobble us for 3 months here and there.
Right.
People aren't going to put up with it.
No, I don't think so.
Well, especially if the G phone actually materializes, you know, there's going to be so much competition from having real OSs in these phones that are real open and something to really plug into.
And real companies who get it.
You know, they're not monopolists.
When you look at Apple and Google, they get it. You know, they get the idea to something, and you know they're going to untie a lot of these pieces that have really kept us all wound up.
They are coming at it from opposite directions, which is sort of interesting. But they're meeting in the middle, which is really interesting too.
And clearly, there's an Apple Google synergy. I mean, that's there's no doubt. You know, look at you're putting YouTube on an iPod. I mean, Google's got to love this, right?
I'm loving it. I mean, I have to admit, I now find myself, you know, I'll be sitting at the
chocolate
airport.
Rain.
No.
Everywhere.
All my wife plays now is chocolate.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's wonderful. Tayson Day is very happy. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a good Christmas for Apple. They came up with some good products. They have a very complete line now, as you point out, at every price point. They've got an iPhone, but also an iPod Touch, which everybody's going to want. I think the iPhone publicity will really help that. And suddenly it's at $250. Well, yeah, maybe I will get one, you know. I think this is a good move all around. Any mistakes Apple made? Anything they did wrong?
Ringtones. Maybe getting the Beatles on stage would have been nice. But
who's this TJ Saltonstall? What the hell? Hunstall?
KT Dunstall.
KT Dunstall. Who's she?
She's some British-American artist. It doesn't quite go together.
No. And Steve says she's hot.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I don't think Steve should be saying that kind of thing on stage. He might have had a good day, but he's not going to have a great night. And on that note, we want to thank you for joining us. It's a quick one, but we just wanted to get something out to let you know. And I really want to thank everybody here, especially Frank, who bought the steak. Franklin Harris.
One steak amongst all of us.
DigitalUnderpants.tv. Yeah, well, it was a good steak, though.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And just to know that the dinner, the price of the dinner could have bought you an iPhone and a half.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Cost.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. DigitalUnderground.tv. I'm going to say it a few more times just for that. Yeah. Anything else you want to plug? Who's your sponsor?
Well, we just started working on a completely new kind of hacking blogging site. The demand for all the stuff we've been doing on Digital Underground has been so great that we can't produce the videos fast enough. So we've kind of got a site called Technocrat, tech.nocr.at. Once again, tech.nocr.at.
And Randall knows it and likes it.
Yes. Yeah, I've gone there a couple times.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
Yeah, we've got... I'd like to thank General Motors and Vonage and ING Bank.
I'm doing something wrong here. Alex Lindsay at the Pixel Core, pixelcore.tv.
And also the guys at over at Kenji and John and Ben over at MacBreak Tech are going to be doing a live Q&A on Monday. So go
how ahead. Would they do it live?
They've got
talk
some,
shoe.
They've got their own,
they do their own thing.
They got their own thing that they figured out. So it's MacBreakTech.com. Go up there and check it out. And it should be a lot of fun. It's an experiment.
That's a great idea. I think that'll do very well. Labrats.tv.
Yes, and if Andy Walker was here, he'd be probably bringing us all down by saying, "Yeah, it's really stupid. I hate everything."
By the Zoom, by the Zoom, the Zoom can squirt.
Yeah, he can squirt. After beginner's guide to.
And the Zoom.
Bet he's not here.
Thank you, Sean Carruthers, for being here. Randall Schwartz is Merlin at Stonehenge.com. And, of course, the chief host at Geek Cruises News. You got a cruise coming up? I've seen a lot of you. Are you not doing those cruises anymore?
We had a six-month lull. So.
I was going to say, because usually you're on a boat.
But, of course, you're missing the other thing that you and I do together, Floss Weekly.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, the now brand-new host of Floss Weekly just put out a show on Git, and we've got more coming soon.
We've got two so far. We've got a couple more in the wings. I'm waiting to get those perfectly lined up before we talk about it.
Completely forgot about that, yeah. Should really promote my own podcast once in a while. That's the problem, yeah.
In fact, somebody suggested that they wanted to actually take Floss Weekly and make it their ringtone. So,
you know, that song, that Floss Weekly theme, was done by a very talented guy, the guy behind Lullabot. Jeff Robbins, who was with a group called Orbit, which I'm sure Sean Carruthers remembers because he knows all of this music trivia. They had a couple of hits.
Yeah, I believe so.
Do you remember Orbit? Does that ring a bell?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah. Orbital or Orbit?
I don't know.
Oh. I know Orbital.
Oh, maybe it's Orbital.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It's probably Orbital.
There was Orbit as well. There were a lot of Orb bands.
There was the problem right there. And I don't think his name's Jeff Robbins either, but I'll fix that in post. So we... So we want to thank.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. I just like saying that. There's no post. They'll post when I'm dead.
Can you fix the price that you paid for that iPhone originally in post?
No, I'm bringing it. There's a restocking fee, but I'm taking it back. Ladies and gentlemen, another back break is broke.